Let the word of God say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. See, as the word of God is coming forth, I receive insight. I have the ability to understand. It is penetrating into my heart, and it is turning my life around in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Amen. All right, open your Bibles, please, if you may, to the book of Mark chapter 11. We read that last time. Let's read it again, the book of Mark chapter 11. Let's start from verse 11, and then we'll jump some verses, and then continue from verse 19. From verse 11, it says, Jesus entered Jerusalem and came into the temple, and after looking around at everything, he left for Bethany with the 12, since it was already late. In verse 12, it says, on the next day, when they had left Bethany, he became hungry. Now, seeing it at a distance, a fig tree in leaf, that is full of leaves, all right, blossoming leaf-wise, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. And it was not the season for the figs. Now notice verse 14. He said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples were listening. Then verse 15 says, then they came to Jerusalem. He entered the temple and did the things that he did there. That's not part of what we are discussing now. So we're going to omit most of that. Then as in verse 19, the Bible says, when evening came, they would go out of the city, that they began to head out of the city. As they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. That's verse 20. In as in verse 21, being reminded, Peter said to him, he said, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. Now, verse 22, and Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. Last time I read from the Young Literal Translation of the Bible, which gives us exactly the words that Jesus used without anybody trying to make too much sense out of it by himself. Jesus said literally, have the faith of God. You understand? That's what he said. Some people interpret it like this. They think it's easier. They say, have the God kind of faith. But what Jesus said, of course, what we have here, which is have the faith of God. That's if you have the new Young's Literal Translation, you read that there. And I said in verse 23, because of what I'm saying in verse 22, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. And I went ahead to explain some things. Now, please keep this in mind, all right? We read it last time. I will review some of the things we said concerning it then. I'll review them briefly again. But let's quickly open to the book of Psalms. I want to read something from the book of Psalms. Now, we'll read from Psalm 82, all right? From verse 1. All right, in verse 1, it says, God takes his stand in his own congregation. He judges in the midst of the rulers. He said, how long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Selah, that is, meditate on that. He said, vindicate the weak and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. In answer in verse 5, they do not know, nor do they understand. For that reason, it says, they walk on in darkness. For the foundations of the earth are shaken. Verse 6 says, I said, you are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High. He said, nevertheless, you will die like men and fall like any of the princes. He said in verse 8, arise, O God, judge the earth, for it is you who possesses all the nations. Now we have read many portions of the scriptures in this our series of teachings on the habitation of God. But this one that we have read again and again, I need to read it one more time, all right, and tie everything together. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Please, let's just read that one quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Because we have read it many times, I will just jump here and there as I'm reading so as to save time. It says from verse 14, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, that is, we believers in Christ Jesus. Just as God said, 'I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.' Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Now, let's just stop there. I think we have read all the things we need to read. I can now begin to talk. The Lord is good. If you know you are blessed, say amen. Okay, we have read those scriptures are the main things we have been reading. I want to just summarize everything and put a few things together. The main one we are taking today is from the book of Psalm, that's chapter 82 that we just read. With that, we'll summarize everything that we have been discussing. Remember, this is what we are trying to emphasize to Christians. The fact that God wants to dwell in us. That was why Jesus saved us. He saved us to become the dwelling place of God. He did not save us to give us more money. The way we preach the gospel sometimes, we think that all God wants to do is just to bless us financially, give us a husband and wife, give us children, make us financially successful. And that is not what He saved us for. The primary reason why God saved us is so that we'll become exactly like Him and He will be able to dwell inside us. And that's one thing I want Christians to understand again. Everything you do in life, listen to this, every single thing you are doing in life, I'll say it one more time, every single thing you are doing in life is deciding whether God can dwell in you or you are repelling His presence away from your life. I said something to us last night, which is what I want to say again, all right, we're picking up from there. When Jesus came to that tree, do you understand? When He began to talk to that fig tree, He was speaking to the fig tree casually. Please notice that. He was speaking to that fig tree casually. He wasn't there tell the disciples, "Everybody surround this tree. We're about to do something dangerous right now. Watch out, the anointing is about to come. I am going to speak against this tree," and suddenly the lightning of God will flash and the tree will die. He didn't do that. He just got to a tree. He was disappointed the way you would be disappointed if you got to your house and there's no cold water in the fridge and you are really, really, really thirsty. Do you understand what I'm saying? And he just looked at the tree and said, "Nobody will eat from the tree again." There are so many common words we use like that, all right, these days. Nonsense tree. You know that kind of thing? You know, just hiss and said, "I thought there would be something here, sir." He just said it casually. He was not planning to look at that tree again. He was not coming there to... He had nothing in his plans to come and inspect whether that tree will respond to him or not. He said it casually and he walked on. It was the disciples that looked and said, "Master, behold, that the tree that you cursed without trying to curse it..." Please, do you understand what I'm saying? "The tree you spoke against..." One day, you know, a friend of mine and I, we were driving in Lagos. I don't even know whether it was his car anyway. I don't know whether I was the one driving or it was the one driving. This was on Marina. And one guy decided to drive one kind of rough. Do you understand? You know, just, you know, you call rough driving, which is very common in our country, Nigeria. So, I guess we didn't give him way. So, he got angry and he chased us down, overtook us, brought out his hand and decided to do waka. You know waka? Instantly, his engine exploded. He had to park. So my friend said, "That's the power of God." Do you understand? Yes, the man said, and he wasn't joking. He said, "That's a testimony, because what is he trying to do?" He just over, next thing we just saw, boom, we heard something, you know, smoke just started coming out from his engine. The guy had to rush over and park. Of course, we kept on driving like nothing happened. Do you understand my point? Just by the way, this is how God takes care of you. There are many things that God has protected you from, you are not even aware. You know, the truth is that we like testimonies a lot, and they are good. I'm not saying they are not good, but God is not actually in the business of generating testimonies. He's in the business of just doing what is right. Did you hear what I said? Listen, God will not always wait for you to be flat broke before he sends you money. That's the reason why you don't come every day testifying about the supply of money. Because money comes long before you get hungry. You don't realize every single one is actually a miracle. I was listening to Kenneth Hagin, or I speak, that's I think earlier today or yesterday, and he said that most operations of the Spirit are actually supposed to be in private. That people are always looking for what is spectacular. They're always looking for what is spectacular. And he said we should be careful, all right, not to miss that which is supernatural because we are looking for that which is spectacular. That's just by the way. Listen to me, God is taking care of you. He's not always generating miracles. It is not every time he will let you become sick before he heals you. Many times he doesn't let you fall sick at all. Do you understand what I'm saying? Many times he does not allow you to fall sick at all. He just takes care of you. And that's one thing about the word we must understand. The word is not always... God didn't give us the word to solve problems. Did you hear what I said? What did I say? No, he didn't. He didn't give us his word to solve problems. He gave us his word to live by. He gave us his word to what? To live by. It is not when I fall sick, I will take the word of God and use it to get healing. That is good and it works. But that was not the primary thing about the word. The word of God, yes, it is medicine. It works for sicknesses, for ailments. But the primary thing about it is, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live. What that means is that every morning, whether you are sick or not, say a word concerning your health. Did you hear what I said? You don't wait till you are sick. Then you now remember that Jesus died on the cross to heal you. By his stripes you have been healed. Many people haven't said that scripture in the last 1 year. Why? They have not been sick in the last 1 year. Then suddenly, sickness comes. Then where's that scripture again? You know, we gather it, we start using it for medicine. Yes, it is right to gather it and use it for medicine. It is correct. But listen, don't wait for you to fall sick first before you realize that healing scriptures actually are necessary. Very important. Because we often look out for what is spectacular. We hardly give testimonies of, Father, we come to the brethren now, right? Praise the Lord. The Lord has been good to me over the last few years. Why? How do I know? Because he has kept me in perfect health. We hardly remember. But if we fell sick and the doctor said we would die, and the brethren prayed, and then we didn't die, they come to Bible study. Who has a testimony? I do. They said I was going to die. But praise God, I didn't die. Listen to me. It is even a greater testimony that nobody had the opportunity to tell you you would die. What am I going to say? So when Jesus went to that tree, he spoke what? Casually. You know, I've been emphasizing it. He wasn't trying to be dramatic. But this is the power of the Son of God. He looked at the tree and said, nobody will eat from that tree again. The tree died. Why? Because he had what he called the faith of God. He said, whoever we say to this mountain, he was passing a comment on it, and we believe that that which he says, now I need to emphasize that again, we said it last time, I just want to run over it again so as to give people the opportunity to print these things in their minds. He said, whoever we believe that what he says, that is, it must be something he understands as part of his life. I am not trying to get results. Listen to me. You are not trying to focus now, because sometimes what we think is this. Let us now focus on this and begin to fire it with our faith. So you narrow your faith, focus your faith. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's what we often do. But at other times, when your faith is not very active, there's no point. Just relax. But that is a mistake. That is why our faith doesn't work. That is why what we say does not come to pass. Because we do not have the habit of understanding that whatever we say is... Now, you understand what the English there? I quickly rearranged the English. I know it is not correct English, all right? But I just want to emphasize using the words that he used. We have to understand that whatever we do what? Use my bad English. Says, you understand what I'm trying to say? Whatever we says, I'm not emphasizing the says, the fact that it is something that you and I do continually. You must understand your word every time has power. Let me say to you again, that is why after today, you will not lie again. I'm not praying for you, so you can say the amen the way you like it. It's not a prayer. It's a statement. Let me tell you something. If a thief comes to your house and say, do you have any money inside here? you have a choice of two. Either you don't answer him or you tell him the truth. Answering not by force, Abi. But I thought about it today. It is beneath a child of God to, because of fear, lie to the thief. For what? I looked over my life and I was meditating about this thing. I said, no. There are times, you know, you've played sharp with people, you know, other policemen, you know, those kind of things, when they want to extort you. I said, not anymore. Not anymore. I will tell you the way it is. Listen, my security, my favor is not in your hands. Not anymore. God forbid, I thank God for his protection. Just as an example, if I have money in my house, a thief gets in there, he carries a gun. I have a choice of two. Either I don't answer you, or I tell you the truth. I will not say there is no money if there is money. Do you know why? It's not about the thief. It's not about money. Let me tell you something. Money is nothing. Did you hear what I said? It's nothing. God can take $1 million from you today, tomorrow give you 10. Listen, as far as God and you are concerned, $10 million and 50 naira are the same thing. There is no difference. There is no difference. It takes God as much effort to move $10 million into your life as it takes him to move 50 naira into your life. The main problem, the main issue is you and me. Whether we can, and that is the reason why if you see $1 million, you want to hold it like, favor. It mustn't go away. You want to hold on to it tenaciously, like, listen, this thing, you must not leave me. But the fact is that if you understand God well, you can let it go as simply as, do you understand? If you can 50 naira the $1 million, it will come easily into your life. I manufacture words. I have to manufacture words to convey the special revelation that is there, no current English word. So that's why I say, if you can 50 naira it, that is the same attitude you have towards 50 naira. For those who don't understand, as of today, naira on the open market, $1 is about 180 naira. Do you understand? So, just in case somebody listening to this, you know, because like I keep on saying, you may be in Australia and you don't spend naira, you don't understand the relative value. So we have to try and make you, all right, be with us, okay? All right. If you can look at it with that same, you know, if you can get to a point, you see, that's what life is about as believers. God is actually, that's what he's doing. He's building up our faith to that level. Anything he wants to do in your life, he wants to build up your faith to the level that the thing doesn't hold you. Do you follow what I'm saying? It doesn't grip you. It doesn't hold you tight like, you know. I mean, God will build up your faith to a level. Listen, anything that you can release freely, God will be easily bring into your life. Do you hear what I said? Let me say it again. What you are able to release freely, what God is going to do is to make it very easy for that thing to come again and again into your life. Anything you hold on to tenaciously, it's going to be hard for you to keep on coming back to you. That's not a joke. What I say is a matter of fact. You hold on to it tenaciously, it's going to be very difficult for you to come back into your life. You have not yet built up to the level where you can handle it. That's what God is saying. But let me get back to where I took off from. That made a lot of people, you know, shock. I'm looking at something deeper. I'm looking at a point, do you understand, in which my words are so powerful. Do you understand? And I recognize it. And I recognize, that's my emphasis, that I recognize it. Is that recognition I'm talking about? I will not weaken my faith for any reason now. Why should I? I've come to realize that if you're a liar, your faith is weak. You don't have to try. You're a liar, you don't have faith. Let me say it again. No liar has faith. Your faith is weak. You can't get anything done. You move into business, eventually it will collapse. Why? Your spiritual substance has been wasted. You don't have the faith of God. Because if you did, you will understand that, come on, if I tell my boss, a guy says, how much do you spend? Because I want to eat just 50,000 naira. I lie to the man that we spend 200. The man gives us 200. We know what we spend is 150. Me and the boy wants to share 50,000 naira. I would not end my destiny because of 50,000 naira. You don't understand. You are weakening your faith of God. For what? 50,000. When God blesses you, you will find it a waste of time to go back home to pick 50,000 that's exposed on the road. Do you get my point? You know, if you left your door open, you want to go back and lock it. Why? You don't want a thief to take it. It will get to a time that 50,000 is not worth the effort of going back to pick it up. And like I keep on saying, these are not imaginary things. These are things that God has done for people. That's why I keep on telling Craig, be careful when you criticize. Be very careful. And this big man, what are they doing? He's flying a private jet. I keep on saying it. A man that flies a private jet means two things. He has private money and he's going to private places where you are not going, and money you don't have. Just shut your mouth. The same reason why I insist on having my own car in going to places is the same reason he insists on having his own private jet. For some people, that waiting at the airport, checking whether the plane has arrived or has not arrived, is too much effort. They are not wicked people. That is just their level in life. I was talking to a man the other day. I was in his office, if you just say, last week, in Enugu here. That's far away from here. When we finished speaking, he explained that the only place he stays if he travels is a Hilton hotel. You don't want to hear how much they pay a night. You will lose faith if you are not careful. And he explained a few things. I want to explain something to you. He explained a few principles, all right? It was very easy for me to grasp because I understand some things. And he's a Christian, good Christian man, good. I know he does not steal, he does not bribe anybody. He does legitimate business. And he began to explain. He said, listen, when you are staying in the Hilton, because of the business he does, you will tell maybe a minister, that Nigerian minister, or a big man, head of a big company or parastatal, okay, let us say in the evening, they offer to come and see you. I don't know what I get around to say. You didn't catch that. Most people go to a bank MD's office. You think it's a favor. When you tell the bank MD, all right, what do we see in the evening? Right, I'll be, the man will say, okay, where are you in the hotel? Okay, no, I'll come and see you. Suddenly the whole thing changes. Why? Because where he's staying, in fact, one of our brothers who worked with him said one day they were walking, he was walking to go and meet his boss, who was passing by him, the head of an African state. Do you get what I'm saying? That's the person walking past you on the corridor. The Lord is good. But he said something which I love very beautifully. He said, you don't struggle to do such things. So you allow yourself to grow to that level. A lot of people are fighting, they don't understand. What I'm going to emphasize is that you build your faith to a particular point. And that's what God is doing in your life. That is why I won't tell a thief a lie. Because the 50,000 you want to steal is small. When God has built me up, I will use it to for serving me good food. I'll give the waiters and waitresses to share it. Just by the way, just so excited to make you laugh. One brother was telling me about one particular man. I won't tell you his name again. All right? Nigerian man. He said when the man is coming to the airport, anytime, if they say airport has closed, you understand, and he's coming in. It's his private plane, of course, and he's coming in. And they say, wherever it's coming from, assuming Lagos, Abuja, Port Harcourt, anywhere, once it's about to take off and he calls the people here and they call themselves, every man runs to the airport. They will open the door for, come on, which kind of close? You can't close, or guy is coming. They will open the airport, you understand? Even those who are not supposed to be on duty will come and walk. Because once he arrives, they know. Minimum he will drop to tell them thank you is 500,000. 500, that is, just take. Oh, you guys are very, very nice. Thank you very much. So, everybody say, my portion. I lie. I'm going to collect my portion. What are you talking about? But it's eating my portion. One of our brothers gave me a testimony once. He mentioned the name. Not somebody I knew. He said that he was in his house. You know, his phone rang. Somebody said, please, are you so-and-so person? He said, yes. Please, somebody give your name to to me. I can't remember the man directly. That he has a health challenge, yes. That whether the man can come and see him in the house. So this is our brother. So the guy I thought was this 419 people. And so I said, listen, you called me Dr. So-and-so. Yes. He said, I am the doctor. You are the patient. You are the one that needs me. I'm not coming to your house. And he just said it very nicely to him, like, but he made it clear, I am not coming to your house. So the guy apologized. I said, sorry. That you are the one that should come and look for me, not me come and look. I mean, you are the one. Do you get my point? You are the one that is sick, not me. So he said, well, the next thing he knew that after some time, I don't know whether it's that day or the following day, but some guys arrived at his door. Good afternoon, sir. Please, our guy called you earlier. He wanted to come and see him. Please, he's not around. He said we should go and bring you by ourselves if you don't mind. So the man said, no problem. He followed them. He thought they were good. They drove to the airport. A plane was waiting. They put this guy singly on a plane, flew him to Abuja. Somebody was waiting, received him, then drove him to the man's house. The man said, oh, sorry, I didn't know. Please. This is my problem. The guy fixed everything for him in a few minutes. The plane was waiting, took him back to where he was. My bro was weak. Do you understand? He was weak. The plane came only to collect him. Listen, so that's why your mouth must stop lying. That's what I'm trying to say. Your boss gives you $100,000 to do something. There's $20,000 change. Give it to him. That's what I'm trying to explain. Give it to him. The problem for us Christians, all right, we don't realize it, is that those things, it's not money. Life is spiritual. Everything you do is either building up your faith or it's weakening your faith. So watch it. Anything that weakens your faith, fight it. Once it's removing the ability of your faith to develop, fight it. Don't allow it. Don't tell anybody any lie. In fact, I'm just against this lying thing now. Because Jesus said he must understand that what he says comes to pass. That's what I'm going to emphasize. Jesus did not say, now you have spoken to the mountain. Be looking at the mountain and then the mountain. Your movement will come to pass. You must come to pass. No. He said, the man understands that if I talk, it comes to pass. And that was why he looked at the tree and casually talked to it. I told my wife the other day, if I didn't know I was coming down to this particular message series, I said, something comes up to my mind once in a while. I think it's the Holy Spirit. And banking stop this thing. All right? Subtle, you know? I told my wife, I said, this thing I do once in a while, I don't mean any harm, but the Holy Spirit is making me understand that it's not right. You know, sometimes you just say, maybe somebody is disturbing me. You say, okay, I'll call you later. And you know, deep inside your heart, you really don't want to call the person. You just want to end the gist. Go. Do you understand my point? So I'll call you later becomes a way of dismissing things. So I told my wife, it's not right. This was about last month or 2 months ago. I told her, listen, if I tell somebody I'll call you later, even if it is 1 month, once it is later, I must call you. If I don't want to call you, I will not tell you. And it's not something I used to do a lot too. Just I noticed I did. Okay, actually what happens is that when I would tell the person I'll call you, what used to happen to me is that later on, I just dismissed that it's not important. I said, but you see, you've said to the person, I will call you later. These are things you do to just explain to yourself, I am not an ordinary man. So I told my wife, no, what I'll start doing is that if I am not 100% certain I'll call you later, I will just tell you simply, we will talk another time. Do you understand my point? That anything I don't plan to do now, I will not say it. Why? Because if I don't, it is weakening my faith of God. I am not an ordinary man. You are not an ordinary woman. You are a child of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're not ordinary. You are a child of God. And you must recognize that. That's what I'm preaching today. He said they don't understand. So for that reason, what happens? They walk on in darkness. He said, I have said, you are gods. That's what we read from Psalm 82. He said, I said, you are gods. And all of you, this is a prophetic psalm, all of you are sons of the Most High. We have understood what that statement means now, having studied this over the last many weeks. This is the 9th session we are having on this habitation of God thing. That when Jesus came and said, my Father walketh and I walk. My Father is walking and I'm walking. They said, this man is making God his Father. So what is that doing? It's making himself equal with God. We understood equality with God. When God uttered the statement concerning Jesus, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Make sure you hear him. He was not speaking to the disciples. He was not speaking to Israel. He was not speaking to the people listening. He was speaking to the whole of creation, including all these people. That was why when Jesus spoke to the wind said, the Father said, hear him. So they heard him. When he spoke to the tree said, the Father has said, we must hear him. So the tree died in peace. And that's what I'm talking about. He said, you are gods. All of you are sons of the Most High. God said, this is what I want to do in your life. And we saw it earlier. Paul said, we understand this thing now. So we cleanse ourselves of all defilement. I understood telling people I will do something and not doing it is defilement. It's defiling my system. After the Christians, forget all this, am I going to hell? It never crossed your mind that if I tell somebody I will do something, I don't do it, I will go to hell for it. You know, it never crossed anybody's mind. So Christians look for what to send them to hell, what doesn't send them to hell. I'm telling you now, these are the things that prevent heaven from coming down to the earth through you. That day I told my wife, I said, listen, if I tell somebody I'm going to call you, I will call you. Even if I so don't want to talk to you, the very sound of your voice is annoying me. But once I tell you I will call you, I must pick that phone and call you. I can call you and speak for 5 seconds and tell you, I don't want to talk to you, and I call the phone. But I must call you. Why? Because if I don't, it's a defilement of my system. It's preventing God from dwelling inside my heart. I won't let that happen. That's what I'm talking about. I won't let that happen. You know, we don't realize this. So we walk on like mere men. And so what happens? What happens to mere men happen to us also. I dare to say true Christianity is rare. We don't understand it. We don't. That's what I said to you all last time. If you understood it, you would never utter from your mouth what you don't want to happen. You will never. That's why the way God taught me that thing has to do with the way I handle my children and their mother. You know, one of the ways I learned it before, you know, the Bible, God described Adam as the son of God. You know that? Yes, God described Adam as the son of God. He gave a genealogy, son of the ancestor of God. Adam was described as the son of God. But notice something. This is a message I've preached to husbands a lot. In fact, many times I've had to preach at weddings. I'll always drop this one in. Because we don't have all the time. Actually, I want to close on time today because I have a co-workers meeting at the end, all right? I want to try my best, so I have to rush a bit. But if you're going to read that story in Genesis of when Adam needed a wife. Adam did not know, of course, the concept of wife. He knew something was lacking. So when God said it is not good, he decided to correct something. He now took Adam out. Go and look at the sequence. What he did was to take Adam out for Adam to look at everything. That it was after they decided that Adam needed a companion that he began to name the animals. Go and check it. So the naming was not just nomenclature. It was a seeking of the appropriate companion for Adam. Go and read it. So, all the characters, you see, dog is domesticated. That was when Adam domesticated the dog. Adam domesticated the cat. After living with them for a while, said, these guys can't do the job. In everything, there was not a mate, a help found that was suited to him. God said, now you've gotten the point. Let's now do something. Now, this is the point I want to make. When God created the woman, he took the woman and took him to Adam the same way he took every other creature to Adam. Adam now said, this is now. That was the word he used. He said, this is now. which tells that he has been looking for something. He said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. A woman shall she be called. Now, he now described her character. You get what I'm saying? That's what it means to give names. It wasn't just to say, this one is monkey, this one is dog. No. What would this one be? How would this one function? After I read that, I found out that, listen, even though we're all human beings, individuals, children of God, when it comes to home, marriage, once a man marries a woman, what he calls her is very important. Do you hear what I said? What he calls her is very important. I always admonish men, don't, you know, life is tempting. Do you hear what I said? Life is what? Tempting. There are so many temptations in life. Look, in fact, your body is a temptation. Your body will just wake up in the morning and say, let me ruin this guy's life. Your own body. If your physical body can do it, how much more the other body that's not even directly attached to you, only mystically attached, that is your wife. The two shall become one flesh. The flesh that was the single one before, it likes to disturb you. But you try your best not to fall for his temptation. Is that not so? So don't worry. The fact that your woman, that is your woman that she shall be called, will also tempt you also. But don't ever fall for the temptation of using words like, I know you, you will never do anything straight. You never know how to manage money. Once they give you money, you will waste it. You think you are commenting, but actually you are prophetic. You are prophesying. A woman shall she be called. What you have done is you have called her a name. You will never know how to manage money. A spirit starts following her about. She will never be able to balance account. Why? Because Adam said to her, you will never know how to manage money. He thought he was angry. Do you get my point? He thought he was angry. He thought he was responding to the things around. But actually what he was doing was giving a name. So when she has finished vexing you, annoying you, decide what exactly do you want her to be. When you have decided that, sit down at home. Let the tempter go first, you know, because her presence may be annoying you. So when she has gone, begin to declare. This is what she will be. Why? Because Adam was a god. I have said, ye are gods. What we are experiencing in life today is we don't understand, so we walk around in darkness. And all the foundations of the earth are shaken. My message today, Christians, understand, you are gods. Don't fall for the temptation. I told you last time, God taught me that one earlier. I tried to be humble, all right? But I scolded myself very high when it comes to children especially. You do whatever you want to do, you ain't dragging a negative word from my mouth. Over your life, I'm a God, I'm a prophet. Say what you want to say, do what you want to do. No, I won't fall for it. Life is tempting. I understand you're a temptation. That is your behavior. It is Satan trying to tempt me to pronounce upon you what I don't want to see in your life. Do you understand that? And when I pronounce it, it will come to pass. So, no. I have said, you are gods. And I am preaching to children of God today. Understand it. That was why God brought Eve to Adam, because he said to Adam, you are a god here. What do you say about the situation? Say it, she will hear you. Listen, God created everything quite all right. Created the heavens and the earth before the man came. But when he put the man there and said to him, in effect, I have said to you, you are a god here. What he was saying, that what I have created, look at it and tell it how to function. The reason why you have volcanoes, all these problems, storms, is what the Bible means when it says the foundations of the earth, they are shaken. He said they don't understand. So they are walking around like ordinary people. They are talking like ordinary people. They sit down and talk anyhow. But Jesus said something. He said, anyone who will experience results
both in direct prophesying and in prayer, must be somebody who understands that normally what I say comes to pass. I hope you understand that. Let me get back to what I was going to say earlier. I feel so strongly about that. That is why, listen, you don't lie to yourself. Like, number one, you don't lie to yourself. You don't lie to anybody. Lying ruins your ability to believe God. It does. You answer your phone, where are you? I know there are different ways of confusing yourself. I have left my house. Yet you are at the door. You know that kind of thing. And they might expect you in Oka. You want to give me the impression you are at 9th Mile. What you are doing, all right? What you are doing is that you are confusing your soul. You are confusing your system. Tomorrow when you say, God, give me money, God sends you leaves. Why? It looks like money. Both of them are green. Yes, that's my point. Why? That's the system you have created inside your system. Confusion. You answer a call because the person won't know. Where are you? I'm in Lagos. There's one joke somebody sent the other day. He said, Eddie, I never get your money. In fact, now the hospital I did since so. Now the fifth drip in my hand right now. I guess he meant the fifth bottle of Star. He was there drinking, eating, feeling fat. What he doesn't realize is that when you talk like that, you are calling sickness. There are two things. One, you are making your words useless. And the number one thing, listen, when God was enabling Adam, think about it. You know when Adam was on the earth, you know what they call dinosaurs now? Now, this is a prophetic word I'm giving you. I don't want any scientists to come and argue with me the lies they've told him that so as to subvert scriptures. All right? What you call dinosaurs now were on the earth in the time of Adam. A lot of them, I don't know how much of them, but Adam met a lot of them. And I know, if you read the scriptures, Job knew them. So down even after the flood, they were still around because Job knew dinosaurs. By the time of Job, all right, I assume they were few. Okay? Because you'll understand, if you read the scriptures well, you'll understand that the things on the earth have been very dynamic. This is not just how it was when God put the man there and he expected things to change. So some things go, some things come. You understand? And then, of course, let me not digress into the issue of global warming or global cooling. But believe me, most of the things you hear outside, they are fat lies. Even scientists know, they just refuse to publish it. The fact that the earth is getting warmer is not strange. All right? The earth has always gone around in cycles. All right? It's always gone around in cycles. In the early 70s, they used to ask, is the next big freeze coming? The earth was cooling very fast. And what they call Greenland, you heard of Greenland? Greenland is, you know why it's called Greenland? It was green. If it is now, they will have called it white land because now it's always snow, you know, and ice. But that time it was green. So scientists like to just deceive us, and I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but they have their reasons. Part of their reasons, should I tell you? It is to drive scientific research into producing alternative, you know, energy so as to reduce the Western dependence on Arab fuel. And anybody here, you say, this guy, you believe in conspiracy too much. The other one I've told you is fact. So the earth goes around in cycles. So let me get back to what I was saying. So you see, dinosaurs were there then. Back to what I was saying. They were. How do I know? It's just by reading what the Bible calls Leviathan. In the book of Job. And God discussed Leviathan with Job, which tells that Job knew Leviathan. And if you go and see the description of Leviathan, of everything you have ever seen or heard of, the only thing that fits it is a dinosaur. I thought about it, I said, that thing has to be a dinosaur. Then one day I took a Bible dictionary, I was going through it. Go and just read it, I don't have time to go through it, in the book of Job. I read one of these Bible dictionaries. The man finished describing Leviathan and said, nobody understands exactly what fits right now. He said, it was a dinosaur. I said, oh, it's not even Revelation. Men have written it in books. Let's not go there. The point I'm talking about is this. When God planted Adam in the midst of Leviathans, mammoths, do you understand? Lions that you know today, sabers, that is tigers with long teeth, all kinds of things. Do you think God ever, listen to what I'm saying, do you think God ever expected Adam to see a lion and run? I'll tell you the truth, no. He gave him dominion over every beast. I'm bringing out something to you. The spiritual power in Adam was like this. If a dinosaur comes near where it's not supposed to go, Adam will come there, mark a line, and say, no dinosaur crosses here again. All of you heard me. And then the dinosaurs will reach there and talk to themselves. I said, this was where the God of this place, I have said, you are gods. They will understand this is where God said, not God in heaven, but the one we can see. He said, we shouldn't cross here. Adam will have set a limit for their migration with his mouth. One day, one sister was talking with me about one of our brothers. No, I got to know her somewhere else. Then the course of our gist, she realized that we now realized we knew the same people. And I said, we're not talking about one of the brothers. That one day, their neighbors, they were walking on the road. And that the brother had always been telling her, their neighbors, that you fear too much, and fear is not good. You know, he's been telling her. So that day, they were walking on the road. She told me, they said, that day, it was striking. I think they ran into a dog. I don't know what was wrong with the dog, whether the dog was angry with them. And so the dog was running, charging towards them. And she took off, you know, tired running. The guy just heard her say, I told you, there's no need to be afraid. He doesn't know the dog. He just turned around. As the dog reached, he said, stop in Jesus' name. He just told the dog, stop in Jesus' name. The dog just stopped there, turned around, and ran away. He just told her simply, I told you, there's no need to be afraid. Let us go. He didn't know the dog. Oh, I gave this testimony to one of our brothers the other day. He was on the road in Benin. Got to a junction. Suddenly some boys blocked him on the bike, pulled out a gun. Of course, aimed the gun at him, wanted to rob him. And one of them made the mistake of threatening him. Come down or I shoot you now. Suddenly the spirit of faith entered into the young man. And he said, shoot me? Shoot me? He suddenly got angry and said, die in Jesus' name. The boy fell down there, pam, on the road. He started his car and continued driving. He heard the gun hit the floor as the metal hits the tarmac. He started his car. The other boys quickly rushed their colleague. He just drove off. I mean, like I said, Jesus caused the tree. He didn't know whether, he didn't care. The tree, you'll be dying on your own time. That's your problem. He said, I have said, you are gods. He said, but they don't know. They don't understand. They don't know what it means. So they weaken their spiritual energy by using their mouth wrongly. I was talking about Adam. That was the tool that God gave Adam to keep everything in check. Adam would have come to the garden or whatever part of it, because God gave him the commandment to guard it and keep it. He was supposed to tend the garden. He wasn't supposed to just be swinging up and down like what's the name of that guy in the Tarzan? Yes, that was not the idea. Swing up and down like Tarzan, eat the fruit and just be playing. No, he was supposed to keep things in check. The man will look at erosion and say, "This, the flow of this thing is not good." So he will speak and say, this plant, this stream shouldn't flow this way again. It should flow the other way. And that's it. Listen, many of the results we get here by medical research, scientific research, and all of those things. Remember, God said to Adam, now from the sweat of thy brow, you will get results. Many of them will have been solved with ordinary words. I don't know what I heard I said. You know, this one that we have been, you know, they finally launched the phase one trial of one Ebola vaccine, finally succeeded. And then hopefully by next year, mid next year, it will be rolled out. Those guys, they can bring out 1 million doses in a day or in a week. All right? Okay. Ebola has been killing, for months, been killing people, running up and down. If it was when gods understood what it meant to be gods, what would the gods have done? They will have come together. Because now it's not just Adam, there are many. What do we do? said this Ebola has gone, it has gone too far. They will have simply said to Ebola, it is enough. And when they say it is enough, Ebola will start winding down by itself. Ebola will have started winding down by itself. But now, from the sweat of our brows, we are eating bread. Unfortunately, we have now idolized the sweat. So that people have more faith in scientific research than they have in the spoken word from the mouths of the gods that God placed on the earth. Of course, my message is to the gods sitting in front of me. To the gods listening to this by any medium, watching it on TV. To the gods listening to it by tape, by CD, on the internet. Whatever, my message is this. Understand that you are a god. It is not, what are you preaching? I'm preaching the scriptures. Psalm 82. He said, I said you are gods, but you don't understand. So what you find, if you read from the beginning, they start judging unjustly. Instead of them to vindicate the weak and the fatherless in verse 3, they are the ones oppressing. And these are the very things that remove the power of gods from them. That's what I'm trying to explain. These are the things that remove the power. Every disobedience to divine order, every disobedience to divine order removes your ability to function as God ordained for you to function on the earth. That's what I'm talking about. The more men, women disobey God, the more they have to labor physically to get results. Otherwise, they will have spoken. Do you get what I'm saying? They will have had to just speak. You know, Jesus was in a difficult situation one day. He said, what do we do? They said, oh yeah, pay your taxes. No money. Judas had taken everything. He just simply said to Peter, take your hook, go to the river, go to the sea, catch a fish. The first fish you will find has something in its mouth. Let me say something to you. If as at that time, the fish didn't have anything in his mouth, as soon as he spoke, the fish will go and hunt for a coin and swallow it. Because God said, whatever he says, hear him. The fish will have, in fact, one angel will make two people fight on a boat over money. It will fall inside water. The fish will dive in there, catch one, then swim to where Peter will arrive. Peter will, cast his hook. That fish will say, please, other fishes enjoy, I have to be caught. Why? Because the Son of God spoke by his words. Listen, when he was casting out evil spirits, the Bible says he cast them out with a word. That was what the centurion understood. And he said, speak the word only. And Jesus said, this guy has understanding. And his understanding has made him of the kind of, make him have the kind of faith that I never saw anywhere else in Israel. Again, it's back to my mind. Your words, they are the most precious thing that you have as a carrier of divine presence. Therefore, use them well. My emphasis for today in that area is don't twist them for any reason. Don't lie with them. Henceforth, if you feel a form, please tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. If you say, I don't feel confident enough to tell the truth, don't fill the form. Leave it. Say, this is the one with which they will give me a visa to go to some. Just say, then don't go. Don't go. I told the testimony that one brother sent to us the other day. He said he heard me preach. He had gone to the American embassy twice or three times. I don't know the number of times. And they always denied him the visa. He wanted to go for a particular stuff. So next time he decided to go for the interview again, he said he remembered my testimony. He wrote, he didn't tell one single lie. This time around, he walked in. They did not even check what he wrote. They just handed him the visa. Go. Listen, I'm bringing Christians, children of God, to a new level. Understand that this issue is not, if you die, you will go to hell. No, if you lie, you will die and go to hell. I think we have established it. You are not going to go to hell. If you think you may go to hell here, shout a loud amen. If you think you may, that is 50-50. If you are living your life so that you will not go to hell. Anyway, no point you shouting amen. It's a nonsense way to live life. I am living life because I am a citizen of heaven. If you are like me, say amen.
Amen.
What we are saying is that will heaven come down to the earth through us? That's what we are saying. Every time you pick the phone and you tell somebody you are in Lokoja when you are supposed to be in Enugu, and you know you are in Enugu, just know that you have shortened, you have reduced your ability to control life. That is why a lion will charge at you and you can't tell it stop. Why? Because these are spiritual things. You have weakened it. Now when you shout stop, it feels like a breeze in the face of the lion. So he pounces. The thing that God gave Adam as God, you know what I mean, as a God, to control things were his words. So many of the struggles you go through today, they are a result of a curse. No, I don't know what I finally wrote that article. What I call laboring under a curse. Let me redefine it now. I'll give a new title. Laboring under a curse and bragging on the results. Let me say it again. Laboring under a curse and bragging on the results. Many of the things we do in life, many of the principles of business we operate, they are principles written for those that God cursed and said, from the sweat of your brow you will get bread. He didn't say he will not eat. He said the difference now is that instead of you speaking words and the earth responding to you, now you have to sweat and dig and do all kinds of things. So men will write books, The Power of Networking. Actually, networking has power. When you allow your words to build a network for you, do you understand my point? When you have to use your own labels to network so as to get the result, and they come and give you testimony. Most rich people I know, the other day I was reading the story of this man. If you watch some versions of Dragon's Den or the American version, Shark Tank, you'll find him there, Kevin O'Leary. Somebody gave me his book. As I was reading, I was marking, this is not right, this is wrong. This is a work of a man under a curse. Almost all of them I know, they emphasize something. I read Ted Turner, I told the story. Ted Turner was working 18 hours a day. That's the man who built CNN. At the point in time, it was worth $10 billion. Paul Getty at the time was the richest man in the world. These are the stories I've read. And all of them emphasize on one thing. Rise up early, go to bed late. And this interesting part, they got results. They did. All these men I mentioned came out billionaires. All of them. I said, I don't care. I know the truth. Let me tell you something. The issue is that just trust the word of God. The results therein, all right, have not been publicized. Yes, they've not been publicized. Most people that got results with the word of God, God did not even allow them going to the public eye to make noise. Were it not for the crisis of Obamacare and all of that, most people never heard of David Green. Some say, who's David Green? If you have a smartphone, you have this Bible software on your smartphone, they call it a YouVersion. That's the man who pays for you to get it free. I tell you, things are not, they are never free in life. If they appear free, somebody's paying. You go there, just download the YouVersion. David Green personally pays for that. He owns a company called Hobby Lobby. Was it last year when we went to the US? My wife said, no matter what, she must go and buy something from Hobby Lobby just to say, I bought something from David Green's shop. She didn't need anything, no, just to have told her friend for me, where is Hobby Lobby? They drove to Hobby Lobby, she walked in, bought some things. Because she had read the man's story. We read some of his articles that appeared in one of these magazines. The man is a billionaire. It's worth about $2 or $4 billion. It's one guy who dragged the United States government to court. But listen, I have the right to run my business on my, you know, religious principles. And the Obamacare cannot force me to pay for the kind of contraception that I think is against the word of God, and I will not pay for abortion. He won in that court of appeal. He said, Thank you, I won here, but let's drag it to Supreme Court so the Supreme Court can just finally put this thing to rest. So he won there also. Now he rested and won for many people. Many people never heard of David Green. The man built his business operating biblical principles. I read the story of Henry Ford. And Henry Ford never said, wake up early, go to bed late. Yet, that man built businesses. He built, in today's value, that man, in fact, I'm not sure whether he didn't make it also to be the richest man in the world at the time. If not, then he would have been like number two or number three at a particular point in time. Henry Ford. Please, I'm bringing an issue. So don't let the world teach you. You know, sometimes you know, you've heard it before. Men that they tell you that you read this analysis. Now, please, I'm not anti-Jew, you understand? If you believe I'm anti-Jew, raise up your hand. All right, you know I'm not. I'm pro-everybody. The only thing I say, which is different from what other Christians say, is that whether you're an Arab or a Jew, you are the same in the eyes of God. That is the only one I say that most Christians don't say. That most preachers disagree with me. No, they don't disagree with me. I'm the one that's disagreeing with them. Yeah, they said their own first. You understand what I say? It's popular doctrine. I don't believe, just for the records, I don't believe a word of it. It's not true. Let's forget what I believe it or not. It's not true. As far as God is concerned, the Iraqi Muslim and Benjamin Netanyahu are unbelievers. Anyone who says Jesus is not the Son of God, what is he? A normal Jew swears that Jesus is a fake Messiah. I hope you understand that. That's part of their fundamental beliefs. They laugh at you. The only thing they like about you is two things. Two things they like about you. One, most of you are in America, so you support them. People like, what's the name of our brother? John Hagee, Pat Robertson, all those people. They gather many people to support them. And they like that. Wouldn't you like it? You see that at home, everybody's supporting you. Two, all the confused parts of you in Nigeria, you come as tourists coming to Holy Land. And when you are coming, you buy dollar. And you spend dollar. Hotels are not cheap, nothing is cheap there. I hope you know that. Let's tell ourselves the truth now. Forget all this religious joke we crack all over the place. The same God is rich unto all that call upon him, for there is no difference. All the promises of God are confirmed only in Christ Jesus. If you are not in Christ, you are an unbeliever. And Jesus comes tomorrow, you are going to hellfire. It doesn't care whether your grandfather is Abraham. Listen, let's address this. Some Christians don't understand. Listen, in Israel, no, think about it now. John the Baptist, what did he say to them? Jesus said, you are of your father the devil. The same people we are idolizing. You are our senior brothers in the faith. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. That was what Jesus said to the Jewish establishment in these days. John the Baptist said something to them. He said, you say Abraham is our father. He said, listen to me. God is able to raise stones up as children for Abraham. He said, you must understand that. The axe has been placed at the root of every tree, and anyone that won't bear fruit is coming down. I don't know where we read some of these our doctrines that we preach. That's what I explain. You find Ayatollah Khamenei. If you preach the gospel to him, he believes he's a favored person with God. If you walk up to Benjamin Netanyahu and he does not believe, he's an unbeliever. And there is a lake of fire for those who look the Son of God in the face. And said to him, square, you are a fraud. People say God made promises. Don't you read? He said in Christ Jesus, the wall of partitioning has been removed. That those promises apply to everybody. And they are only confirmed in Christ. Listen. You are not, in fact, you? To say you are not inferior? It's insulting you to have to remind you are not inferior to a Jew. You are superior in the eyes of God. Not because of you, but because of Christ. He said he came unto his own. His own did not receive him. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God. How can you tell me those who rejected him are superior to those who accepted him? I hear Christians preach that thing and I get shocked. They say, if you want to prosper, you get a Jew on your business. A Christian. A Christian. A Christian. There are statements you must never utter. You are saying that I should get somebody who did not believe to come and bring a blessing into the life of the fellow who believed. Is it not clearly stated in your scriptures that the blessing of Abraham is upon those who are his true descendants, who Paul explained in Romans chapter 4, the descendants are those who are of faith. He said the seeds he was talking about was not seeds as of many, but one seed, and that seed is Christ. What are you talking about? Then a Christian will start a business and think it's an advantage to get a son of Jacob who denies the deity of Christ, who denies that Jesus is the Messiah, that I need him to bless my business. You are mental. Come on, let's magnify this our Christ though. Because there's a reason why I went into that. I was trying to explain the principle that people have misrepresented our Christ. They will do statistics and show you the number of Jews who won Nobel Prizes, the number of Jews that did this. They have never done any study to show the number of true Christians who did anything. Give me one. You've never seen any study. I have a book in my house, The Jewish Phenomenon. They show you how Jews have been outstanding. And I agree with them. I don't disagree. What I am just saying is I have never seen a study that sat down and analyzed true believers in Christ and show what they brought out onto the earth. They've never done it. And I'm saying to you from the knowledge of scriptures, it's difficult to do anyway, I understand. Because the other ones are easy. It's natural descent, born of flesh. But people born of the spirit are difficult to identify. They are difficult. Because they're like the wind. The wind blew it where it listed. They are so difficult to understand. The few of them we have seen what they have done. I'm not saying you should copy him in this area, all right? I'm not saying you should copy him. But this life will tell you that if you don't bless a Jew, you will not be blessed. Listen, forget it, all right? Let me just say something. Eh? Don't copy this, though, because you must love all men. All right? If you love Muslims, say amen.
Amen.
If you love Nigerians, say amen.
Amen.
If you love Arabs, say amen.
Amen.
If you love Jews, say amen.
Amen.
If you love Americans, say amen. And if you love Russians, say amen.
Amen.
If you love Russians, say amen.
Amen.
If you love Vladimir Putin, say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, it's important you love him. Don't believe all that lie they tell you on television these days. There's one reason why I'm not against Vladimir Putin. Just one reason. Just one reason. You know what's going on in Crimea, then Georgia. Georgia was before. That's South Ossetia and the other place. And then right now, Ukraine, all right? Bringing up Ukraine, all those areas. You know why I have never, one brother called me one day, what do you think about what's going on with Putin? I said, I've not heard the start of the story. Yeah, have you heard the start of the story? The media has not spoken, it doesn't speak English. You understand my point? That's one problem with English. English is dominant. You don't speak English in this world of today, you are at a disadvantage. Just by the way, we say many things. We know, when we come here, we learn all kinds of things. The one brother came here, I said, when he described what goes on in Cameroon and some of these other African countries, and I was really impressed. How come they are not so out there like Nigeria? He said, that's the problem. They don't speak English. They speak French. So this French as a national language, as of today, is a disadvantage. No. When God gives kingdoms, there's a way he does things. So you understand my point? So because Russians, they are not there. English is not their primary thing. So they can't easily communicate with you. So the people you listen to on that issue now are the Western powers. They control CNN, control BBC, you understand? They control everybody that feeds you with information. I'm not saying they are wrong. I'm just saying you can't judge. That's what I've said. So is what Putin doing, is it good? I have no way of knowing. Be careful how you judge things. So don't let CNN form the mind of God for you. The Lord is good. You know, if you see what I have done, I have not told you Putin is good. I've just told you that he's not bad. He has not been stating his own side of the story. you know, what was I saying? I was saying that, you know, this guy, so I was saying, if you love Russia, you know, we're talking about if you love this, love this. That's how I got there. You know, Henry Ford. Do you know the truth about Henry Ford? Don't copy this. You know, that's where I started from. Please don't copy it. Say amen. Uh-huh. You don't even know what you're saying amen to yet, but I'm just begging you not to copy it. Now, Henry Ford hated Jews. Henry Ford. No, you know me, I don't, you know me, do I hate Jews? No, answer me now. I'm just saying that whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you are the same. That's all I have said. I love Jews, and I love people from Adamawa State, and Kogi State, and Enugu State, and Ghana, Ghanaians. I love everybody. But do you know Henry Ford hated Jews? Did he still not prosper? So that lie they are telling you that if you don't love Jews, you won't prosper. If you hate anybody, it's a sin. Jews or Gentile. Any Christian, you shouldn't have hatred in you. And I think that one, being in the life of that man, must have had his own problems. But I just want to understand, all right, that being a believer in Christ Jesus is superior. That's what I'm trying to explain. If you were able to do the study, like I said, just that it's difficult because it's a spiritual substance we're dealing with. If you were able to do the study, you will have discovered that Christianity has brought more into this earth, has made more people successful, has healed people's sicknesses. You will have discovered it. I went into that trying to explain something. So people, sometimes they write books on people struggling under the curse of Adam, but who succeeded? They write books on that premise. And then Christians buy it and want to live like it. After Adam lost out, he began to operate under a curse. With that struggle, he got some success. They want to copy that. That's what I'm trying to say. And we have to be careful that we don't. Follow the word of God. And the way you follow it, I told you before, the will of God. What is the will of God? The will of God is sanctification. It is not, oh God, if I get into this business, it is the call of God for my life. Listen. Yes, God has a plan. But the will of God is sanctification. So how do I succeed? I sanctify. Did you hear what I said? My key to success is sanctification. What is sanctification? I weed out every human and natural idea concerning what I'm doing and take divine ideas. That's sanctification. That's sanctification. And I'm saying to you today, let me close, that listen, if you walk in that sanctification, if you walk with that sanctification, what you are doing, that you are stepping into the realm of walking like gods. That day I finished talking with them, I was talking about, one of our brothers was with me, he came out. He said there's one thing that morning was listening to Pastor Podu preach. And Pastor Podu said that all the experiences, listen to this. This faith, because there are different ways God builds your faith. All these faith building experiences of life that men have from many interactions. He said, Pastor Podu, you explain. As if he knew we were going to have that discussion that day. He said, just by interacting with the word of God, you've not gone out. You are in your house. You interact with the word of God, you can be built up to that level. That one day you walk straight into Hilton, they'll think you live there every day. Do you understand my point? Where are you coming from? From reading your Bible. That's how they told the story. I read the story of George Washington Carver. It was a black man, a scientist, in the time that slave trade was just ending. George Washington Carver addressed the Senate and the lower house. George Washington Carver, a black man, a scientist, they said he spent more time in his lab reading his Bible than conducting research. What they used to do, in fact, one brother told us the story. He said that one day the man was praying. And he said, God, I want to know the secrets of the universe. And God said, you can't understand it. It's too much. Ask me for something else. So he took the groundnuts and said, tell me about the groundnut. By the time he was through, he had brought out over 200 products from the groundnut. Have you ever gone to school to learn shifting cultivation? That was his idea. He had to, when American crop was failing, he was the one that came to explain to them, you need to shift the crops. He was one that came to explain that we have overfarmed the land. So what we'll do is that we'll move the cotton crop away and put legumes inside. What you now, later on, you start reading as, you know, biology, leguminous plants, nitrogen fixation. A man came to understand it because he used to interact with this divine spirit inside his laboratory. I have said, you are gods. Let's bow down our heads and begin to give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we give you thanks. Say, Lord, we give you thanks.